Okay, everybody, come on back to your seats. This is our last Sunday on our sermon series, Yield. And today we're going to be talking about yielding to the words from God, the gifts of prophecy. Now, House wanted me to speak on this one because he thinks I know what I'm talking about. And I found out that just because you can do something doesn't necessarily mean you know how to do it. Does that make sense? There are some times that things just come naturally to you, and sometimes they don't. And so this one was a little bit harder for me to do because I had to think, well, what do you do? How do you do this? How do you hear from God? And so it was kind of an interesting process through the week. And as a matter of fact, I think it was Tuesday night, or maybe it was Wednesday morning, more like it, that God was talking to me a lot. And it was like 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, God, I need to really get some sleep. But he tends to do that to us because that's why. It's when we're down, we're quiet. There's nothing going on. And as we're starting to drift off to sleep, he goes, ah, they're open. They can hear us. So today we're talking about words from God, the gifts of prophecy. So most of us think of a prophet in the Old Testament that looks like this, right? Isn't that what you think of a prophet? When you hear prophet, you think Isaiah, Nehemiah, Daniel, all of those, right? You're thinking, oh, the old men of the Old Testament of the Bible, and they had these big beards, and they were old, and, you know, they were old. Yeah, most of them were like 100 years old. But that's what we think about. And I'm here to tell you that was the Old Testament, right? But all of us can be prophets. All of us can hear from God. And I think we get scared as a church body, when we hear the word prophet, because we think that prophets have to be the leaders of the church. They have to be pastors. They have to go to school. They have to do all of this. And that's not the case. That's not the case of all. But let's start with looking at, let's see, I think it's scripture. Yes. 1 Corinthians 14, 1 through 6. Let love be your highest goal, but you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the gift, the ability to prophesy. For if you have the ability to speak in tongues, you will be talking only to God, since people won't be able to understand you. You will be speaking by the power of the Spirit, but it will all be mysterious. The one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally, but one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the entire church. I wish you could all speak. This is our main verse. I wish you could all speak in tongues, but even more, I wish you could all prophesy. For prophecy is greater than speaking in tongues, unless someone interprets what you are saying so that the whole church will be strengthened. Dear brothers and sisters, if I should come to you speaking in an unknown language, how would that help you? Right? But if I bring you a revelation or some special knowledge or prophecy or teaching, that will be helpful. So, prophecy is helpful. Tongues, right, is a special language. It's between you and God, unless someone is there to interpret for you. There's no way you would understand what is saying. And I know there's some people here that have that gift of tongues. I personally have, I think maybe once have spoken in tongues, and that was in my own little world. I've never done it in church. I've never done that. But prophecy is something I've done. So who is a prophet? It's a spokesman or speaker. It's someone who reveals God's message for others. And then to give you just a little English, there's prophecy and prophesy. So prophecy is a noun. To prophesy is a verb. So prophecy, if I'm a prophet, I'm giving a prophecy. If I'm in the midst of giving one, I'm prophesying, if that makes sense. It's kind of confusing. Now, prophecy, I love this definition. And this is from Sean Bowles, who wrote a book called Modern Prophets. Prophecy is a divine spoken word that comes to us by revelation. God's plan and heart are revealed for a person, place, or situation. All truth or revelation is prophetic. Because all truth, where does that come from? God. All revelation, where does that come from? God. It's prophetic. If it's coming from God, it's prophetic. So, why do we do it? What is it for? It's to build up. It's to build up our church. It's to build up each other. It's to build up maybe in a business. There's a lot of, you don't believe this, but there are people that hire prophets in their companies. So they're, because they're Christian men and women leading these companies, and they know the value and the power of God's word. And so they hire people to literally be prophets for their company and to speak for God in those companies. And they don't make a move unless God says something. And let me tell you, they are very good companies, and they do well. Because why? They're listening to God. So what's it for? To build up. It also can be a warning, right? I had a prophetic warning once before we started this church. And it was a dream that I had. And I woke up and I was like, holy cow, what was that about? And God started showing me what it was about. And it was a warning. And so it can be a warning to help people not to get into bad situations, right? Or to watch out for a person or a place or a situation. It could admonish you. It could admonish the church. I mean, how many times in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament did we hear these prophets that were admonishing the Israel, right? You stiff-necked people, God would say. This is what you've done, and this is your consequence. But if you bend your knee to me, and if you bow down to me, and if you worship me, and if you start following me again, we're going to get you out of this, right? So he admonished them. He kind of warned them, do this, and tells them what to do, because he wants to build them back up. He doesn't want his people to stray. He wants them with him. So admonishing. It can teach us. Said in the scripture, it can teach us something. It can, especially the church body, it can teach us something. It can comfort us. I had a word for somebody, and it came out of nowhere. I had no clue. I was like, I don't know what this means or if it's going to help someone. And I finally gave that word to them, and it was such a great comfort to them that brought healing. So it can comfort and bring healing to you. It can encourage you. How many times do we need encouragement, or someone has said something to us, you know, that kind of came out of nowhere and encouraged us? That's what God's word will do. It will encourage us. It also can say, tell us things to come. Now, it could be a prophet. Prophecy could be, it's forthtelling or foretelling. Forthtelling is for the now. Foretelling is for the future. Okay, so it can tell of things to come. That prophecy that you get, it could be for right then and there, and it could be for something in the future. I mean, you look at Isaiah, and he prophesied about Jesus. And that was, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus ever came. So it can tell of things to come. And it can move the kingdom forward. And I didn't put that last because it's last. I put it last because I wanted that one to be the last one you see. Right? See how I did that? Tell of things to come, move the kingdom forward. This is really about expanding God's kingdom. It's being able to get God's word out there and moving the kingdom forward. So who can be a prophet? Let's look at, this is Joel 2:28 through 29. Then after doing all those things, I will pour out my spirit upon you, upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on servants, men and women alike. And this was a prophecy about Acts. When Jesus had died, he had sent the Holy Spirit. And what happened? He sent his Holy Spirit. It poured out over everyone. They saw flames. They heard a great noise. And everyone was prophesying. Everyone was prophesying. So everyone can do that. Not just the old guys like in that picture, right? So what are some of the ways God speaks? And I know I'm going through this kind of fast because I want to get to the end where we're going to practice. So ways that God speaks to us. It can be in visions. I had a vision while we were worshiping. We were singing hallelujah. And as we were singing hallelujah, I saw heaven just kind of open. And just light pouring down on this place. That's a cool vision, isn't it? Really cool vision. And I start tearing up. I start getting goosebumps. So I know that's from God. It's not just my feeble mind trying to imagine something. It's actually God giving us a vision. You can do it in dreams. I told you about my dream. Now, I get really weird, bizarre dreams. Kathy knows my dreams. Kathy and Dave, because they were in the group as I was telling them about my dream, and it was a prophetic dream. And it was weird, and I'm not going to go into it because it's really gross. It was just weird. But it was a warning. So dreams can have warnings. It can be, I've had dreams for me, a prophetic dream for myself. I've also had dreams for the church body, for other people. It can be in dreams. Angels. We talk about people seeing angels. They're all in the Bible. They're also called God's messengers. So they can come and give us a word. So angels can come. Trances. Okay. We're not talking about voodoo type stuff. Trances are basically a dreamlike state while we're awake. How many of you have been driving and all of a sudden you're going, where the heck am I? Yeah, I did that this morning. I was like, woo. And I'm like, I don't know what street I'm on. And I'm like, oh, phew, I'm on Newland. I'm good. But I was wondering, where am I? Basically, it's when we call it zoning out, right? But in a trance, God is going to talk to you. Now, unfortunately for me, it's while I'm driving. I don't know why he does this. But thankfully, most of the time, it's at red lights where I'll just kind of all of a sudden I'll get this. I call zoning out. I go into a trance, or in the Bible, it says I went into the spirit. Okay. So that sounds better for Christians, doesn't it? But really it's a trance. But I went into the spirit. I was awake, but all of a sudden I was in the spirit and God's showing me things. So it's a dreamlike vision. But while you're awake, it's an impression. How many of you just had like something just kind of weigh heavy on you, like something's just pressing in on you and you go, gosh, what is this about? And you talk to someone and they go, oh, that's just what I needed to hear. That's an impression. It's just something that's being pressed on, maybe on your mind or on your heart. And you talk to that person, or you go to that person, or you go to a leader, wherever it is. And it's something that God wanted someone else to hear. So it's just an impression. It can be an audible voice, that still small voice that God uses. You know, like, have you ever had, I always use driving, I don't know why, because probably God speaks to me that way, and God says, turn right. You're like, but I need to turn left. Turn right. So you turn right, and something is leading you that way. So that still small voice can talk to you. It can give you words. It can give you direction, little bunch of different things. Visitations. It's kind of like angels, but God will have visitations. Now, one of them is Balaam's donkey. If you haven't read that story, it's hysterical. There is a prophet named Balaam. He is going down the road he's supposed to be delivering prophecies. He's not always a good guy, right? And God is trying to get his attention and trying to talk to him. And so he uses his donkey. And his donkey starts talking to him. And I always found this story hysterical because Balaam just had a full-on conversation with his donkey and didn't think anything about it. Right? But God can use anything to get our attention, can't he? So if your dog or cat or bird or a donkey starts talking to you, say, okay, Lord, what do you want to tell me? And sometimes we're the donkey. Yeah. More than once have I been a donkey. Yes. So it could be a donkey that comes and speaks to you. So how do we know if this prophecy is from God, if it's true, if it's, what is it? So in Deuteronomy, it's 18:21 through 22, it says, but you may wonder, how will we know whether or not a prophecy is from the Lord? Right? Here we go. This is the answer. If the prophet speaks in the Lord's name, but this but his prediction does not happen or come true, you will know that the Lord did not give that message. Easy, right? Doesn't come true. The prophet has spoken without my authority and need not be feared if it doesn't come true. So one of the things when giving a prophecy is not to hold it so tightly that if the person doesn't believe you, you get offended. Because it doesn't hurt them, it hurts you. And I speak from experience. My dream, I gave it to a group. We went to the leaders, and they didn't believe me. They said it was my own fear and kind of bashed me. And that wasn't a lot of fun. I was learning. I'm still learning. But I held on to it too tightly. And our jobs, when we hear a word, if God wants us to give it, you say it out loud, you tell the person, and you leave it go. And you don't worry about it. Because guess what? It's not about you. It's about God. And it's about his power and what he's going to do. So is if it's true or not, the Lord's going to show us, right? That's true. So here's the four things you need to do to get ready to become a prophet and to prophesy. They're really important things. Have a relationship with God. Right? Now, can someone that does not have a relationship with God be a prophet and prophesy? Yes. As a child, I had prophetic dreams. I did not know that. I saw visions. I had dreams. I did not know what they were. I thought I had ESP. I thought ghosts. I thought aliens. I thought, you know, normal human being, worldly stuff, because I didn't grow up in the church. So I never heard of this type of stuff. So yes, but if you want to be prophesying in the church and as a Christian, we have to have a relationship with God. That way people will know they can trust us, one, because we have that relationship. Get into the word, be praying, get in worship. That's why we worship on Sunday mornings, is so that we can become closer to God and build that relationship. So have a relationship with God. Two, yield to the Holy Spirit. Be open to whatever the Holy Spirit is doing in your life. That's what this whole series is we were trying to get rid of all the gunk that traps us, right? We're trying to get rid of everything so that we can open ourselves up to hearing and seeing and feeling what God and the Holy Spirit are doing. So we need to be open and receptive to the Holy Spirit. Yield to the Holy Spirit. Engage your imagination. Now, I never thought about this. I went to actually a conference back in, when did we, oh, they're not, Judy's not here today. She's with her daughter. It was back in, I think, February, the Modern Prophet Prophetic Conference. And Sean Bolts had said, you have to engage your and practice your imagination. And so I remember Judy and Terry and I talked about it. And I was one that always had a very active imagination. No one ever stifled it. I still today have a very active imagination. I have to be careful what I see or hear because my mind will go there. I love reading books because why? My imagination goes wild. I can picture the scenery and the houses and the people and the things that are happening. But again, I have to be careful of what I read because I go there, right? So we have to engage our imagination. Now, with Judy and Terry, both of them said, and I had another friend who said, I had a really difficult time hearing from God, seeing him, speaking to him. I never have dreams. I don't get visions, all this. And we were working actually with Pastor Joe for some healing with her. And she couldn't do any of the stuff he was asking her to do. And the reason being, and we didn't find this out till years later, and then finally it like hit us, her imagination had been stifled. So what happens is if your imagination is stifled, what happens if you start having dreams or visions or hearing things? You go, well, that's nothing. I can't do that. And so you block it out. So if our imagination isn't engaged, we cannot. It's very difficult to hear from God and to have dreams and have visions. So we have to engage our imagination. You need to practice.
I learned this in February. I'm like, we practice prophecy? Yeah, you do. You practice it in a really safe place, like here. Every Sunday morning, 9:15 around then, we go over into the fellowship hall, and guess what? We sit around, we talk about the verses, and then we go into some prophetic prayer time. Let's see what God tells us. Let's see what God tells us. It's a perfect time to practice. And we just say, okay, Lord, what do you have for us today? What do you want from this word today? And so we're practicing prophecy. And I continue to practice. Am I right all the time? Nope, I'm wrong. But I'm practicing. Now, when giving a prophecy, there's a couple things. Never say, God said, the Lord told me this. So if I'm giving Tim a prophecy, and I went up to him and I said, Tim, this is what God said to me, blah, 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 right? Does he have the option at that point saying, Lord, is this really what you have for me? Because Tamara, pastor, just said God said. And so what it does, especially, Tim, I know your faith is strong, so you'd probably go, well, that doesn't sound like something God would tell me, right? But what if you were new to the faith and I said that? You would believe me. And you wouldn't be able to challenge it. And the thing with prophecy, if I ever say that to you, I usually don't, but I will say, Tim, you know, this is what I'm getting from the Lord. Check it out. And I will tell him the prophecy. I'll tell him the word that I got. And then he has the option of going, okay, Lord. And I always say, now take that, pray about it, take it to the Lord, read scripture, and see if it's true for your life. Too many times people have said, the Lord has said, and I'm looking at him going, Lord never said that to me. And it was something so off that I knew that it wasn't for me. And so, but I was strong enough in my faith at that point, thankfully, that I could go to the Lord and say, Lord, is this really for me? Because that didn't settle in my spirit. It doesn't settle with me. Have you ever heard someone talk to you and you get that little, I call it niggly feeling in your heart, in your spirit? And you go, that doesn't settle. It doesn't feel right. That can happen with prophecy. People are practicing, you guys. And we have to take it to the Lord. Remember, if the Lord ordained it, it's going to come true. And if he didn't, don't fear that prophecy. So look at it. See if it's something that the Lord told you. But never, when you're giving one, never say, God said, the Lord told me. All right? And then confirm with the Lord. I get words and I don't tell someone right away unless I really know I'm supposed to. I always ask for confirmation from the Lord. Lord, confirm this for me because it seems kind of out there. Will you please confirm it? Now, if I'm praying over somebody and the Lord gives me a word, most likely it's going to be for that person right then and there. But if I'm praying in the spirit or something or a dream away from somebody, or any person, it's about the church or about another person, I always ask the Lord to confirm it. Because I don't want to give a wrong prophecy. And I want to be very careful. And this one time, the Lord gave me this prophecy and I kind of went, okay, it wasn't a bad prophecy, it was a great prophecy. And it made me cry when he gave it to me because it was for somebody I really cared about. And I knew that it would probably mean something to them, but it was just so out of left field because I didn't know anything about a relationship that they had. And so I said, Lord, you need to confirm this. Is this really what I'm supposed to be doing? No kidding. In 2 weeks, three times, it was confirmed. I picked up the person's Bible and I opened it and there was a note and I was like, holy cow. And then the wife of the person came up to me and just started talking and said almost the same thing as in my prophecy and confirmed it. It was amazing how it was confirmed. And so confirm it with the Lord. Wait for the appropriate time and place. There was a story, and I think Sean Bolts told us, they were working with some people that were prophesying over people, and this couple came up for prayer, and this person who was, you know, praying over them had a word from the Lord. Sometimes the word from the Lord is for you, so you know how to pray for the person, not to tell the person what it is. So in front of this couple, married couple, who were struggling with their relationship, he goes to the man, "You're having an affair," in front of his wife. You don't do that, okay? You don't do that, because what did that do? That shut both of them down right then and there from hearing anything else from the Lord. So what that person should have done is like, okay, this is the Lord showed it to him so that he could build relationship with them and start really knowing how to pray for them, right? So wouldn't it have been better if he would have said, "Lord, just change their hearts. Change them back to love each other, to build their, strengthen their relationship. Lord, be in the center of their relationship." See the difference? So wait for the appropriate time and place. Now, the one I was just telling you about where I got the confirmation, I tried pushing it. And I swear to you, every time I walked up to the person going, "Now's the time, I've got to give them this word," there would be some blockade. Sometimes it would literally be, I'd start walking to them and people would encircle this person. And I could not get through. It'd be like 2-3 people deep. And it's like, that never happens. I would go up to them and my mouth wouldn't open. So there was, make sure it's the appropriate time. It was about 3 to 4 months later, and we were sitting, we were still doing Alpha at the time. It was the Holy Spirit retreat. And I was on the praise team, so we got done singing. I was sitting there, and I was like, "Oh, I can take a break while they're praying for healing and the Holy Spirit to come. I can take a little break." And the Lord said, "Now." "Now?" And I looked over, and the person was standing there. It was like the light was beaming down on them because the room was dark, you know, because we drained all the lights, turned down all the lights. And the light was just, he was like, right in the middle of the light. And I was like, okay. And literally no one interrupted us for 30 minutes. And that never happens. Okay. So I went up to them and I said, "Hey, can I talk to you?" And say, "I have a word from the Lord. Can I talk to you?" "Sure, sure, sure. Let's go over here." Went into a corner, started talking to them. And I said, "You know, I don't feel comfortable doing this, but, and you know, I try to make excuses because I wasn't sure. But I kind of think I have a word for you from the Lord. You just need to really kind of take it with a grain of salt." And he finally said, "Just tell me." Okay. So I started just talking, and the Lord just took over and started talking. And the look in the eyes, and then the tears came. And he said, "That's what I needed to hear." And if he would have heard it 2 months earlier, it wouldn't have meant the same. He needed that time to get to the place where he was. God had to prepare him to hear it. And so there's a time, appropriate time and place to tell them. Again, the appropriate time and place to tell someone that they're having, you know, if the Lord tells you they're having an affair, that's never. Talk to them aside and just say, "You know, Lord's showing me some things in your life. Is there anything that you want to confess?" Don't tell them because you don't want to shame them. But is there anything you want to confess? Is there anything going on in your life? But take them aside. Take her aside, whoever it is. So wait for the appropriate time and place. Ask questions before giving the word. And I saw this, I think in this book, because I actually just started reading this book again. I'd had it since February. I just started reading it. They were talking about a person who got a word that your thyroid is all messed up. Your thyroid's going to get healed. And she's like, "I just went to the doctor's yesterday and had everything tested." She had had ultrasounds and blood work and everything, and it was clear. So, and the person was adamant. I've had people adamant about something in me, and I'm like, there's nothing wrong with me there. You know, so say, "Hey, have you been experiencing any health problems? I'm getting a word, but I'm not sure if it's for you or not." Because if you're in a big group of people, just because someone's standing in front of you doesn't mean it's for that person. I've done it where I'm thinking it's for the person in front of me, and then all of a sudden I see someone else and I go, "Oh, it's someone 6 rows back." So you can ask questions to see if this is the person you're supposed to be giving the prophecy to, how receptive they are to hearing a prophecy. Because sometimes, again, it's not the right time, but we're pushing it ourselves. So ask questions before giving the word. So here's the warning. People are not always going to, and I kind of touched on this, aren't always going to accept your prophecies, and that's okay. The church body may not accept it. The world may not accept it. They may slam you and may tell you it's all in your imagination. It's your fear. It's your whatever. It's your problem. It's not me. Obviously, they're not ready to hear it. One. And again, hold them loosely. They're the Lord's words. They're not yours. The reflection is not on you. It's on the Lord. So if somebody criticizes you or somebody is just mean to you because of a prophecy said, do not be offended by it. It's hard to do because I get offended because I'm like, but I just wanted to do the Lord's work, right? But we want to make sure that we continue to do it because in the scripture it says, do not quench the spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all, hold on to what is good. So I want to go back to do not quench the spirit. So after I had my really bizarre, horrible, weirdo dream, and I told the group, and they all came in agreement with what I had said, or what the Lord had said, we went to the leaders, and the leaders did not believe it. And I was truly offended. Because I did get attacked. And that's who wants to do that, right? The devil wants to do that. He wants to attack his prophets. And so I went and I told the Lord, don't ever speak like that to me again. Well, I quenched the Holy Spirit in me. And for the first month or two, not a problem. Third and fourth month of not hearing from the Lord. Not speaking to him, not hearing from him, not seeing his works, not feeling close to him, started kind of making me wonder. By month six, I'm slow, okay? By month six, I cried out to the Lord. I remember laying in my bed and just saying, Lord, I don't see you. I don't feel you. I haven't heard from you. I look at your word and it's dead to me. Why, Lord? Why are you not speaking to me? And he gently said, because you asked me not to. Dang it. Right? When we pray for stuff, guess what? He'll answer them. So be careful for what we pray for. I had quenched the Holy Spirit because I was afraid and I was so mad and angry because of what had been said to me because of a prophecy that I said, Lord, don't speak to me again. Well, I changed my tune really quickly, and I threw myself, you know, at the Lord. Lord, I am so sorry. I do want to hear your voice again. I don't want to ever not hear your voice. So help me grow in this. And I learned a lot from that. I learned that to hold it loosely. And that what I say, you know, there's a lot of times the elders and I, or the trustees and us, are all in our group or in our meeting, our monthly meeting, we always do a prophetic time and we always come together and, you know, pray for the church and we ask the Lord to speak to us. And then we go around and say, okay, what did the Lord say to us? And how many times are mine just warnings or just right out into left field, like not anything anyone else says. It's just out in left field. And I used to be afraid to speak them. Because guess what? I didn't want to be busted. And now I just tell them. They know me now. So I'll just say, okay, this is what I get. When we first moved on the campus, the Lord gave us a warning. And thankfully, our leader said, yeah, that is something we needed to know. We needed to, you know, not cause disruption for this other church. Let's not come in like bulls in a china shop and go, here we are. Let's come in gently like lambs, right? So as not to offend them, so that they don't think we're coming in here to take over. And so we were able to do that because the Lord gave us a warning. So don't quench the spirit. Let's see. What else is next? So now we get to practice. That's one of the things we get to do is practice. So what I'd like to do is have you guys put all your stuff down. We're just going to take a couple minutes. And so if you're holding anything, just stick it down. We're just going to try to engage our imaginations at this point. and see what the Lord does with it. Okay. So kind of sit back, get relaxed, open up yourself. Don't sit with crossed arms. Open up your arms. Take a nice deep breath. And just start engaging your imagination. Let's imagine we are in a field. And you see a path, so you're going to start taking the path. And as you take the path, that leads into the trees. And you're walking down this path, and as you're going along this path, it's getting deeper and deeper, and the tree covering is just beautiful. It's cool on your skin. And you see a creek. It's this running, beautiful creek. Imagine hearing the sounds of the creek. Feel the wind blowing on your skin. Just sit there for a second, enjoying the creek and the wind and the beautiful trees. Then in the distance you see something, and so you start to walk towards it. It's on this little dirt path, and as you get closer and closer, you see it's a man. You think, gosh, he looks kind of familiar to me. And as you get closer, he's across the creek from you, and it's Jesus. And what do you experience when you recognize who he is? And then he sees you. And what happens when he sees you? Let the Lord just show you that part. Now you're face to face with Jesus. Ask him a question. I'm going to let you decide what question that is. And now we're going to ask the Lord to show us, what is our part in this church? What does this church mean for us? Lord, show each of us, what is our part in this church? What does this church mean for us? This little, the well at Surf City mean for each one of us? Did anyone get anything that you would like to share? Family and community. Okay. Awesome. More vivid details. Okay. Awesome. Anyone else? My big talkers aren't here today, so that leaves all of you on the spot. I love the peacefulness that comes with sitting in the Lord. And this is what it is. It's just sitting and taking the time. And as we engaged our imagination, it's easier for us to hear from the Lord. So when you're praying over people, if you're praying for your family, praying for your church, your business, your community, whatever it is, ask the Lord to speak to you. Because he will. And be open to hear it. And don't be afraid to share. Make sure it's the appropriate place and time, but don't be afraid to share. And if it's a warning for someone, at the very beginning of Scripture, it says, all this is done in love. This is to love up on each other and love up on our church, live up on our community. Because God wants us in relationship with Him and with each other. That's where God, that community and family comes from. We do it all in love. And if you can give a prophecy or a word or anything like that in love, it's going to be received a lot better. If you come in anger or revenge or anything like that, it's going to be rejected. But do it in love. We're going to have the worship team come on up. We're going to sing one song to get us out of here because this was our ministry time. You want to talk more about prophecy or you want to read more, Modern Prophets is by Sean Bowles. And this is a great book. It's from the conference that we went to. But yeah, so just continue to practice. Engage your imagination and just keep listening. God will speak to you and He will tell you some amazing things.